Catherine, when are you going to take delivery of that new Porsche you ordered?
Never.
That's right, because it's probably on fire. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. Tell me. This is all new. What's going on?
This poor guy, I was looking at Twitter this today, and he was complaining about his Porsche, which has been on order for so long because there's so much backup in the supply chain.
Right, yes.
I'm so concerned about the Porsche supply chain. Those poor people.
Oh, I know. I'm concerned now. Fill me in. This is news.
This I thought this was kind of a funny, even though tragic, funny, tragically funny tweet. He says,
all right.
I just got a call from my dealer. My car is now adrift, possibly on fire, in the middle of the ocean. And he's referring to a container ship with about 4,000 luxury cars coming from Europe to the U.S., which caught on fire, and the crew jumped off the boat, and now it's just drifting in the Atlantic somewhere on fire.
Wait, they abandoned ship?
Yeah, it was on fire. That's what you do when your ship gets caught.
Oh, I guess, yeah. Fire. And gosh, they could explode and everything.
No, they're not going to explode. They have very little fuel in them, and that's just not the way. Cars don't actually explode.
Oh, I thought they did. But,
well,
okay.
You watch too many movies.
not enough, apparently.
That was,
oh
no,
my gosh,
no. Too many movies and
too
not
many
reality,
movies.
You silly
okay.
person.
So, what's he going to do?
I don't know. I guess he's probably still driving his old Porsche.
Oh, I suppose. God. That's got to be rough.
Porsche's such a scam.
Well, keep us posted. I didn't
no,
see that this morning.
I probably
morning.
Won't. I don't think it's really okay. worth it. I mean, there's nothing on that boat that I'm really interested in. Oh, there
right.
were, but there were even Lamborghinis on there.
Oh my
this
gosh.
Is, you know, you have not just regular cargo, but cargo that's some of the most expensive cargo in the world. You might take a little bit better care of it and make sure your boat doesn't burst into flames. I mean, how hard is it when you're floating literally on water to keep your boat from bursting into flame?
It's astonishing to me. I have nothing to say about
that. Probably some of those EV cars and their batteries bursting.
Probably the EV cars.
Because, you know, batteries. Yeah, I loved it. For the past 20 years, ever since the Prius came out, we got a bunch of trolls running around trying to convince everybody how bad the EVs are for the environment. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, those batteries really are terrible for the environment. It does take just like 2 or 3 years to offset the carbon emissions of making the batteries versus actually burning petrol. You know, they miss the point that, again, it's offset so very quickly. And also, those batteries don't go in the landfill. There is a long history since the beginning of the Prius of people reclaiming those batteries, A, because there was a bunch of nickel in them. The nickel itself is just a valuable resource that is worth recycling the batteries for. Or you can take apart a battery that's in a car because they're made up of individual cells, little cells. You can test all the cells, throw out the bad ones, and then you can create a new battery for a car using the cells that are still good.
For the electric cars, not for my car.
Well, of course not for your car. You're like a barbarian who's still running gasoline.
My car, that battery cost me over, like, it was almost $400.
For a 12 volt?
I don't know what volt, but the guy came and put it in, and it was like $360.
You got screwed.
My car was like majorly dead. It was in the middle of the pandemic, 2020-ish moment. And my car, I had taken the lease back. The lease was gone. I have one car. I'm freaking out because I don't have a backup now because I was used to having a backup, even though no one drove it but me. I mean, how spoiled is that?
That's pretty
and then
spoiled.
My car battery died and I was frantic. So I had to call triple friggin' A. The guy came out and put a new battery in. It was like $360.
That's insane. You know, you can just go and buy a battery, get an Uber, take an Uber or Lyft to your local battery place. And, you know, there are plenty of auto stores. Get the battery and put it in your... I did that once. I walked down the hill into Katona and bought a battery and brought it back and put it in the car. And boom, guess what? It worked.
No, he even had a hard time putting it in.
That's
and
really silly. Yeah, that's
the whole
really
thing
silly.
Was silly, and let's not talk about my car because I'm getting rid of it, by the way. I'm waiting for 2023. I only like to buy cars in odd years that end in odd numbers.
Hang on a second. How old is this new car?
2017.
Why would you be getting a new car? It's only 6 years old. Well, 5 years old now, but it'll be 6 years old next year. Why would you get rid of a car that's only 6 years old?
I scratched it.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Silly me.
Okay, let's move on because I sound like a very weird person right now. But speaking of the batteries, I read this article you sent to me. And I was, again, I thought, okay, these cars have been around. EV, electronic vehicle, that's what they're talking about.
Electric vehicle.
Electric, not electronic.
No.
That just sounded so much more impressive. Okay, electric vehicle. Obviously, they've been having these batteries piling up to some extent. Like you said, the Prius has been around for what? going on 20 years.
20 years, yeah.
Yeah, but they acted like this was like a big aha moment, and now they have this, you know, momentum going, almost activism to some extent, to recycle this stuff. It's like, seriously?
Well, you know what this is? This is good PR from the company that they're talking about in the article. It's like, oh, look, this company is thinking so far ahead. Yeah, I mean, it. On one hand, they're right. The Prius is a pretty small percentage of auto sales. EV sales have been skyrocketing. So this is going to be a wave that's going to hit us in the next few years. We're going to start seeing the results of older EV cars, you know, cars that were built 8 to 10 years ago, needing battery replacements. And those batteries we're going to have to start dealing with. And so it's good that they're looking ahead to this and preparing for it. But it's also a little bit of a PR stunt.
Okay, because they said Ford and Volvo were involved in this too. It's not just
This is the thing most people don't really want to admit, is that industry has an interest in being efficient and not wasting materials, because that just costs them more money.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it is incumbent upon Ford and Volvo to cut costs wherever they can. And if they can recycle old stuff, good for them. That's good for their bottom line.
Oh, I'm all for it.
I'm just saying it's good for their bottom line. They can make more
money.
Well,
it's good for everyone's bottom line.
If they don't have to, you know, pay for new materials.
Right. Question about the electronic vehicles. The electric vehicles. In Arizona, because the batteries get such a beating, does that apply to the EV batteries too?
Climate has more of an effect on batteries than it does on the gasoline engine, but that's because the gasoline engine's been around so long and been so highly perfected. But batteries definitely take, it's not just the heat, but also cold. Cold really kills batteries and reduces your useful life and the charge you can put in it. And that's one of the problems with EVs, which is why I am not in any hurry to get a purely EV.
I'm
perfectly happy with my Prius.
Okay. Yeah, I think the hybrids in this climate are probably still the way to go, but that's what I'm
looking at. In most climates, even in cold climates, if you can, as long as you understand what's going to happen, you know, if you're in Minnesota in the middle of the winter, you want to make sure that you have your bases covered for charging your vehicle. You have to understand that your range is going to be pretty drastically reduced on the really cold days. And you may even have problems with the battery. So make sure you have a backup. With current battery technology, we simply can't go all EV. We just don't have the battery technology to allow us to do that, because it can't perform the way gas can perform in even, you know, I say extreme conditions, but even conditions that most people live through during the winter and during the summer.
Right.
But we're getting there. And, you know, at some point we may get through a real big breakthrough where we have a battery technology that can handle all this stuff. And then that will be the golden age.
The golden age. What's this million mile battery they were talking about? Are we done with the batteries?
Oh, well, no, that's an interesting point. When they take apart an old battery, again, made up of multiple little cells, they find that even after 8 to 10 years, some of these cells are still going strong. So you only have to discard or recycle 20% of those cells.
Wow.
The other 80% are still fine. They just don't die. It's almost like they're undead. They're like zombie cells. They just don't stop going.
They're zombie cells, or they're a string of Christmas lights.
What?
You know how string of Christmas lights, like the old Christmas lights, and one would die, but the others were still going, and you never knew which one. You'd have to find it, and you just start unplugging them. And
well, actually, it's a good analogy, even though you messed it up. So with an old string light, some of them would die, and you could see which ones weren't lighting up. But at a certain point, the whole string would fail.
Exactly.
And then you'd have to go and figure out which ones are still good and which ones weren't. And then by just replacing the bad ones, you didn't have to replace the whole string. You could keep it going. Now, of course,
keep
in today's
going.
Disposable society, you just buy a new one.
Yeah, that's probably what I would do.
Oh, you're terrible. Just like you're going to buy a new car.
Well, just like I had to buy a new TV.
You know, next time you go buy a new car, make sure they throw in a couple extra string sets of string light sets. Light sets of strings.
Sets of light strings.
There you go. I don't know.
Whatever.
Christmas lights.
There you go. Yeah, I threw out. I don't have any Christmas
lights.
Maybe
we should say holiday lights. I'm sorry. You said something about your TV there as well.
Oh, no. My TV went poof. And I just got the black screen of death. So I called the manufacturer, and they're like, oh, it's old. You know, it's 6 years old. I'm like, oh, okay, flat screen TV. So I didn't have to buy another one. I found another TV that we hadn't used, and it's smaller.
Okay.
Anyway, so I pulled that TV out, and we're looking at this tinier TV now.
Tinier.
And yeah, it's like 32 inches or
something. Oh, my God.
Or 40 inches. No, it's 40 inches.
How can you even see that?
I can't. But anyway, you can't read subtitles for anything. But long story short, I'm like, now what the hell do I do this freaking TV? You can't throw it in the trash. I'm making all these calls. You can't.
Why not?
Well, I call the city of Phoenix. You can't. We have a dumping problem here.
LCD TVs are pretty simple. They're almost all plastic. There's not a lot of stuff. There's not like there's any batteries in there or anything that can really...
Well, I don't know what's in it. But anyway, so I called the city. They gave me these recycling places to call. I called the recycling places. Now I have a place I'm going to take it on Monday because it's right now I'm looking at it. It's on the floor. They charge 30 cents a pound.
That's crazy.
Without my City of Phoenix water bill. If I have the City of Phoenix water bill, which I do... You know, and they're super nice. I can't wait to go there and meet them. The gal's been so helpful.
I'm not following you. You have to pay 30 cents a pound if you have a city.
If you do not have. If you don't have a City of Phoenix water bill at this particular place, which was the only place of the list that the City of Phoenix gave me, they were the only place that will take this flat screen TV.
That's weird because I know I've done it before where they have electronic drop-off days. Where you can take electronic stuff and just give it to them and they'll take care of it.
I know. I just don't know when that's going to happen. And I've got this huge TV sitting on my floor.
Well, it's not like you don't have the storage for it.
I just can't store one more thing.
You could turn it into a canvas.
A canvas? Do you want it?
No, I'm just saying you could paint on it.
Well, you could paint on it.
You can paint on
I'll
it.
I'll bring it over.
No,
I mean,
you bring it over here and I will smash you with it.
Anyway, that's my TV story. But, you know, so it kind of goes with the recycling, maybe, maybe not. But it's going to be duly recycled very happily. And the little parts as parts will be like sent all over.
Yeah.
And
probably just throw it in the trash.
No, I don't think so. She assured me that they recycle every bit of this.
Yeah, I'm sure they say whatever they want, but you know, if there's no one to buy the recycle, anyway, I don't want to talk about recycling
anyway,
anymore.
Anyway, the bottom line is I don't care what they do with it as long as it's not on my floor anymore. I've got to get it out of here.
Mm-hmm. There's not much technology to an LCD. They're remarkably simple devices, which is why they're so thin and light. There's not much to them.
It's not thin and light though. It's pretty heavy.
Oh, is it a plasma?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't even know. Wow.
It was just the TV that I watched. Well, now I can't.
LCDs are thin and light.
Well, it's not super heavy, but it's not light. What difference does it make? This is getting so boring. Yeah, anyway. Let's move on.
Maybe you could rent an apartment in London or buy an apartment in London and put all your junk in it.
Did you love that?
It was interesting.
I thought it was interesting. They said these little apartments. It reminded me of like in Korea, they have a thing called, I think it's called Goshiwon, and they're just little like kind of student apartments.
Well, yeah, it's more than that. They're like cubicles. You can rent a cubicle to sleep, to basically live in. So you take a retail space and you divide it up into little cubicles. And each little cubicle has a bed and a little desk in it. And you can sleep there and you can cook there and you can basically live in it. And some people do. A lot of people just use it to crash, like if they can't get home that night because they have a two-hour long train ride to get home. They'll just crash there. But some people do live in these places. And it works in South Korea because they're very polite there, so they're very quiet. So even if you're living right next door, like there's a very thin partition between you and the next person, you don't hear each other, you don't get on each other's nerves. You can live there because manners.
Yeah, right.
But this is happening all across Europe as well, mostly in London because the prices have skyrocketed. So they were talking about this 7 square meter apartment.
7 square meters.
Which is selling for £50,000, which... Okay, that's great, but there's a tiny little apartment that, you know, 10 years ago in New York was all in the news. It was literally a converted closet that was made into an apartment, and that I think, selling for well over $100,000. So this is small potatoes compared to New York real estate.
Small potatoes, literally.
I don't know if you could put potatoes in this apartment.
I don't know if you could put anything in this. I could not work in that apartment. I couldn't do it.
Not everyone might be able to do it, but I think if you really, really try, you could. It's not the worst thing in the world. You just have to reassess your life and what's important to you to be able to put what's really important to you into this place. And you also have to imagine this is in London. If you're in New York or if you're in London, your apartment isn't your whole life. There are all kinds of places you can spend your time. There are parks and libraries, just to name a few free places to go. But you know, a lot of these people who live in the real big cities, the real metropolitan areas, don't spend a lot of time in their apartments. So why put a lot of money into a big fancy apartment if you're not going to spend much time there?
See, I spend a lot of time in my house.
Well, that's because you live in West Phoenix, Northwest Phoenix, and there's nothing out there.
Right.
Sorry.
even when I lived in Central Phoenix.
Here's the thing.
If I lived in your neighborhood, I spent a lot of time in my house.
Even here. I mean, I can walk through the market, but there's only one market I can walk to. But if you're in London, it's a whole different environment because you have shops just at your fingertips. You can go outside and be in a shop instantly. As opposed to here, you still have to walk, you know, half a mile to the closest store.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Where do you go to that Safeway?
The Safeway is like a mile away. No, I was talking about the Sunshine Market.
Oh, Sunshine Market. I forgot all about that.
But even that's half a mile away. There. So, you know, right, it's not like literally out your door. I mean, you're in London, you're not more than a block away. And then you're a block away from a store and you're a block away from the tube. So you can get anywhere you want. It's a very different kind of living. And I did take a little bit of exception to some of the healthcare people talking about this is an unhealthy place to live. That's really kind of silly. I mean, you can, granted, it is very small, and maybe some people would have a problem with it, but I think if you really tried, you could do it. And this is really small. I mean, this is like a third the size of a regular bedroom in the United States. Part of the problem here, though, they don't have a video associated with it, so I'm looking at some kind of poor still images of the place.
Right, yes.
The place is badly designed. It is not optimized for the space at all.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. I thought even the small houses did a better job.
Well, some of them do.
Some of them do. I think they all have the same design, bedroom upstairs, you know, just...
There's this one YouTuber, Foresty Forest, and he's a hiker. He likes to hike. He likes to get in the backcountry. But a few years ago, he was living in a very small minivan. Mm-hmm. He was living in the minivan.
Wow.
And he made that work. If he can make that work, I'm sure he could make this work. You just have to design it better. Not only that, he was living in the minivan.
Mm-hmm.
He was also storing his fat bike in the minivan as well, which takes up a boatload of space.
Wow.
What do you need to live? You just need your phone or an iPad, right? There's a lot less you need to be surrounded with. I mean, heck, these days you can even have sex online. So what do you need an apartment for?
Oh my gosh. I think I know where you might be going with this. Are you talking about Roblox?
I'm talking about another silly article about Roblox. Roblox, for those who don't know it, is a massive online game that the kids are playing. It's a little bit like Minecraft. You can build your own stuff. Mm-hmm. But on top of that, it gets a little more complicated because you actually assemble your own games, own type of games. And you can assemble with your friends and create a lot more stuff. And it's a little bit less blocky than Minecraft. Mm-hmm. If you know what a figure from a Lego figure, or what we call a minifig, what that looks like, that's what your avatar looks like. That's basically what it is. It's a minifig. It's a Lego character in Roblox. So it's very abstract. It doesn't really look like a human, right?
It doesn't look like a human. No, it looks like a little square.
When you look at a minifig, you're not confused that that's an actual human, right?
I guess if your imagination runs wild, you could, but I find the whole visual of this game really mundane.
Oh, well, that's because you're just getting a small snippet of it. It's no more mundane than Tropic Escape.
I know. Right.
Anyway, okay. This article from the BBC was complaining about Roblox, the children's game with a sex problem.
Yes.
And it was referring to a very, very small subset of very strange people who like to get onto Roblox and try to create sex areas.
That's crazy.
Where they have, you know, not having sex with each other, but their little avatars, their little minifig avatars are having sex with each other, which is like almost more of a joke than anything else, because who cares? But the thing that really kind of tripped my wire on this one was that when they had the screenshots of these sex parties, and they're not even doing anything, they're just minifigs standing like on a boat, right?
Yeah, there's one on the boat.
They blur out the naked minifigs.
I saw that.
You can't even show a naked minifig. It's not even really naked. It's not a person. And it's so abstracted. It's like, what is wrong with the person that they think they have to do this? Are they so puritanical? And yet they'll show guns all day long. Violence is fine, but sex is completely a no-no.
I'm looking at this article. It is very silly.
And to be sexist, you know, we've got one shot of the back of a naked minifig, Roblox guy. See his ass as clear as day. The next picture down, it's a girl. Can't see her ass, though, because it's been blurred out.
Well, it's not actually an ass. It's just more like the side of a Lego.
Well, it's three-quarter shot from behind, so... What you tell me what
right,
that
I'm
is.
Looking at that. Well, I find that sexist, and I find this whole thing ridiculous, and I found the title of the article ridiculous because it acts like if I was Roblox, I'd be really pissed about this title because it's really making Roblox look like they have sex problem.
Yeah,
and I think it's a horrible title for an article. It was totally clickbait, and then to blur out these pictures, I know it triggered you.
It's so dumb.
I know it's dumb, but it was meant to be dumb, James. You're falling into their pitfall.
I don't think so.
No, they're not puritanical. They're just reporting this outrageous news and trying to make their point even further.
Possibly.
You know, that's all it is.
But I think they're just being puritanical. I think they're being crazy PC.
No, I don't think it's crazy PC. No. I think it's intentional.
I guess we'd have to talk to the author about
Perhaps we should invite them on.
It's a vanishingly small problem. And I don't claim to be an expert on Roblox, but Roblox has been very proactive about trying to restrict this kind of stuff. And it's a whack-a-mole. You know, the people trying to do it find ways to get their little, quote, skins. And I say skins because you can create your own outfits and whatnot and upload them and kind of skin, mm-hmm. quote, skin your character. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're not supposed to be doing that with naked things, but they find ways around it. And they, as soon as they find a new exploit, they try to close up that exploit. But
I think it's silly. Well, yeah, anyway. And I think Roblox probably does a good job of taking this down, and that's enough said.
They seem pretty proactive about it. They no one can be perfect about it. But the next story that I was interested in actually is something to do with art and nakedness.
Well, finally.
There's
finally.
A lot that I enjoyed about this story, and this is from Art News. It's Me Too Medusa sculpture met
right.
with controversy ahead of unveiling in New York.
Right.
And I was taken by the images of the sculpture. The sculpture is really interesting for me because I look at it and I see a beautiful woman, but it's not overly sexualized. I can't explain exactly why, but maybe it's because she's holding the head of a severed male.
Right.
Which should trigger me, but doesn't. It actually tickles me a little bit.
Well, I think it was meant to tickle.
It's just kind of weird. I don't know. There's something about the stance, this is the way it's portrayed, that it's not overtly sexual, even though she's totally naked. Medusa, that is. So it's a let me back up and explain. This is a sculpture of Medusa with the severed head of Perseus. So this is, anybody who knows that Greek mythology, this is kind of turning things on its head.
No pun intended.
Because in the traditional story, Perseus slays Medusa, which was, you know, kind of a weird thing anyway, because what was her crime exactly? Getting raped by someone?
Right, right. Yeah, as the story goes, she was a maiden at the temple, and then Poseidon raped her, and then Athena was upset that her temple was
desecrated.
Sullied. Yeah, I think it was important. The original sculpture had the head of Medusa.
This is, a retake on it. You know, sometimes I get triggered, sometimes I get tickled when people take something like this, a cultural icon, mm-hmm. and twist it. Because if it's done well, it can tell a whole new story.
Mm-hmm.
Like Wicked. Do you remember Wicked?
Yes.
It was a book and then turned into a play. It was it was a twist on The Wizard of Oz, where the Green Witch turned out to be her heroine, and we got mm-hmm. her story. I love that. It was so creative. I didn't feel like it took anything away from The Wizard of Oz. Just like this, I don't think this retelling of the story takes anything away from the original. It uses our common shared history and tells a new story. I really enjoyed that.
That this told a new story?
Right.
There was some controversy surrounding this, though.
Yeah. This is the problem with our current era, is that people can have their voices amplified for no reason whatsoever. Just because they post crap on Twitter doesn't mean we should be incorporating it into actual news stories. And I think that's one of the big things we face these days. 30 years ago, we would have seen this article, we would have seen the reporting on it, but we wouldn't have seen these stupid, quote, hot takes on it from people who don't know what the hell they're talking about.
What are the hot takes?
One person was complaining that it was it was all white, basically. And
right.
feminist activist Wagatwe Wunjuki, who has written extensively on violence against women, wrote on Twitter, "Me Too was started by a black woman, but a sculpture of a European character by a dude is a commentary that gets centered? Sigh."
Right.
What difference does it make who made the message if it's a nice, good, solid message? If it's a good message, what? That is so sexist and racist to put that on this. It's like, because you're of a specific race and ethnicity or sex, you're not allowed to talk in this space.
Well, I think the bigger controversy, and I did understand it from a woman's perspective, was that it was a sculpture by a man.
So?
Does it matter if the artist is a good artist? And I think the sculpture is beautiful, and I like the take on it. However, I do take issue with the head of Perseus, even though he was the one that slayed her. The mm-hmm. person who raped her was Poseidon, and the person who turned her into this Gorgon character was Athena. And I think the statue would have been better with two heads.
Fair point.
One of Poseidon, one of Athena. And, you know, those were her persecutors.
Right. But Perseus was the last in the line. He was the one that came to kill her.
Right. But it was victim blaming back then. It's victim blaming now.
No, I understand that. But I'm saying, you know, it's a little nitpicky. I get your point. It would be nice if she was holding three heads.
Right.
Three heads are better than one, right?
Right. Well, she could be kicking the head of Perseus and
yeah,
holding,
that's true.
You know. I mean, there's all kinds of things you could have done with this.
Right. But this is, there's a simplicity to this. It's really just taking what has become an iconic image
yes.
and just twisting it around. And it's very subversive in that way. And that's mm-hmm. what I love about it. You see immediately as a Greek statue. You see it immediately as a Greek mythology. Mm-hmm. And then when you start looking at it, you realize the roles have been completely reversed.
Exactly.
And that's the subversive part of it. And it's just a beautiful sculpture.
It is a beautiful sculpture.
I mean, she looks totally badass. I mean, you could make a movie based on this.
Yeah. No, I think it's well done.
This is like, you know, your elevator pitch. You get 30 seconds in an elevator with a movie producer to pitch your idea for the movie. I just show them this. Boom. Done. If you could capture that essence on film, you'd have a great film. Art is hard, though.
Art is hard.
And a lot of art is underappreciated. Do you know what art I think is underappreciated?
Mine?
Nope.
No.
Sorry, was that too harsh?
No, go ahead. What is underappreciated?
Do you make art, Catherine?
I'm starting.
Okay.
I have been making art.
All right. Well, fine. Good luck with that. I think photography is wildly underrated. The reasons for that is it's so accessible. Everybody thinks they can do it. Well, Everyone does it. But, you know, just because you can drive doesn't mean you can race in Formula One.
Right.
Those are kind of very different things. People look at driving and don't realize how great of a gulf there is between you driving your, what is it, Escalade?
Escalade.
And a Formula One, I don't know. Escape. What's the difference? Same thing. From a Prius driver's point of view, it's the same.
Right.
Murderers. When I looked at this article you sent me, and I'm not sure why you sent it to me about it, but it was about Arlene Gottfried's photographs of this one person over several decades.
Yes.
And what immediately struck me was, this is a great photographer. It's so easy to overlook the artistry built into these photographs.
Yes.
And this is a time in 1984 when these pictures start. Again, we're on film. These people are shooting film. And
right.
Just to be able to get to the point where you really understand what film is shooting, you know, you have to take hundreds of thousands to tens of thousands of photos before you really get the sense of what the camera is actually seeing. Because the camera is an abstraction of reality. So you have to really understand the craft of it.
Right.
And then to know the lighting and the subject and the composition and to make a beautiful work like this is so rare and so hard to do. People see Instagram and think it's easy, but this is not easy.
No, this is not easy. The reason I sent this to you was twofold. First of all, I knew you would be taken with her work. It's definitely art. It's just wonderful depictions. But the second thing, I've been doing a little photography project in my house as I'm cleaning out things. I found boxes and boxes of old photos of family, and that's a whole other thing. But as I'm going through these crazy photos, I was just taken, like, and then this article pops kind of up in my timeline. The title of the article is Model Lover Friend Muse, a Photographic Diary of One Man's Struggle with Mental Illness Across Two Decades. So Arlene Gottfried took pictures of this friend of hers, her lover, her muse, this gentleman in her life, through his struggles with mental illness, schizophrenia, I believe, to be exact, over 20 years. And it really struck me, aside from the photography, from a relationship standpoint. It's like, how do we chronicle and, you know, revel in our relationships? And to capture this so beautifully really struck me, because some of these photos I'm looking at are just not art. I mean, you can imagine.
Yours. Yeah.
I mean, you know, of course not. But, you know, we still hold them dear. And there are some people I don't know and I'm making piles. But this really struck me. I thought, what a beautiful testament to a moving relationship of an interesting person, a beautiful man, just an absolutely beautiful human being physically. He just is very photogenic. I mean, what a beautiful testament to their relationship. You know,
what's also important to remember from a craft standpoint is that these are not in studios pictures, most of these.
No.
So being able to have a sensibility about the lighting and the composition just on a second by second basis,
yes,
knowing when to shoot is quite remarkable, because I could set up the lighting in a perfectly curated studio to get similar effects, but it's so much more difficult. It's almost impossible to do this the way she's doing it.
Right. Yeah. There is a book called Midnight. It's a book about him.
It's so nice to actually occasionally come across art
that
moves you, that it's high craft that moves you, that's so perfectly created that it has an emotional impact. And it's hard to express. I guess you'll just have to look at it. We'll have a link on the website.
Yes, we will link at the website. And I would very strongly suggest of clicking on any of the links to click on this. It moved me. I really haven't stopped thinking about some of these photos and the story behind it since I read the article.
Well, at least we got some art involved in this podcast.
Yes, some art. Oh my gosh. We're just all over the place.
Yeah.
But I'll fill you in on my work once it's finished.
Oh, goody. All right. I think that about wraps it up then.
That
See ya.
Should wrap it up. Bye.